him in prayer once again, shall we? Thank you, Father, that you've given us this evening to be here. We thank you for each and every one who was desirous to come. They put forth the effort, and we thank you for this service. I know there are some of our folks that wish they could have come, perhaps. There are some of our folks that could have but had no desire to. We just ask, Lord, that you would work in some of those hearts where there seems to be unconcern. May you really convict. May you really draw by your Spirit. But for those of us that are here, we thank you for what we've enjoyed so far. We trust it has brought glory to you. And in the time that remains, may we honor you with the things that are said and done. Speak to our hearts. It's our desire that you get all the glory in your name. Amen. All right. Andrew, it takes effort. He sat there and looked at me. Then he realized that's the title. That's the title. All right. I understand, Andrew. I have days like that too. All right. It takes effort. Well, how many of you have ever owned, or perhaps you still own, and some form of exercise equipment? Oh, look at the hands around here. Hold them up. Look at this. Congratulations for what a well-tuned, healthy bunch of people we've got here this evening. My word. I think almost every hand went up. Woo! Thank you, Dick. He said the hands went up for owning it. We know what the equipment is intended to do. We see the advertisement. We read of its values. We understand how it is supposed to enhance our lives. And oh, it sounds so good. And I really hate those infomercials with the hypocrites that are illustrating it on that infomercial. Why do I call them a hypocrite? Because they're sitting there with this big smile on their face. And they are giving you the indication that, oh, this is just about the best thing next to an ice cream sundae loaded with your favorite toppings. Do you know that I have never seen a piece of exercise equipment that has been fun? I'd like to have a word with some of those people that make those infomercials. I'll tell you what. We've owned a couple of them, haven't we, Jerry? We still have one downstairs. I'm glad it's downstairs. If it were upstairs, I would be constantly reminded of it, but the only time I'm reminded of it is when I go downstairs. Over the years, there have been times when I have been very adventurous to use those things. And at the height of its glory of spending time on there, you know that when I come up from exercising, my face never looks like those people that are on that infomercial. My face is usually red. There's usually sweat dripping. And I'm not feeling very smiley at the time. I'm hot, I'm tired, What's all this about? It takes effort. Now, the equipment is designed for a specific purpose. It's supposed to do certain things. Different things work on different things, so we're not going to get into that. But the thing that is, and I don't know what all of these hands were raised, how many of you still own them, because the question, how many of you have ever had something? But whether you still own it or you've gotten smart and gotten rid of it, there was something in common about them all, and that is, how do you judge the value of them? What good are they? How do you get the good out of them? You know, I could go downstairs and I could look at that piece of equipment that's down there right now, and I could start talking to that thing, you know what, you're no good. You're not helping me. You're not bringing strength. You're not strengthening my lungs, so I'm not out of breath. So, and if that exercise machine could talk, you know what it would tell me? I won't do you any good until what? Until you use me. Just knowing what it's supposed to do isn't going to do me any good. It's not going to do any good until I get of the mindset that, okay, I'm going to do this. And I get on it and I start in and then work my way into it over the passing of days and begin a regular regimen of it. It can't be expected to do any good just sitting down there. Same way with a diet. Oh, now we've done quit preaching and we've started meddling, haven't we? We talk about diets, don't we? What's the catch about a diet? You have to do what? You have to stick to the rules. And every diet I've found is a long list of things you give up and a real short list of things you can have. Mega this and none of that. Same thing. Is there something wrong with the diet? Probably not, unless it's one of those wacko off-the-wall things. But regardless of how good it is, it's not going to do anybody any good unless we begin to apply ourselves to it. We listened to Kate play the music a while ago. I could go down to that piano and I could take her piece of music and I could set it in front of me, and you know what? It wouldn't do me any good. That doesn't mean there's anything wrong with the piano. It works for Lauren, Mrs. Wicker, Kate, Nick. Nothing wrong with that. Oh, it must be. No, there's nothing wrong with the sheet music. She had it, she was following along, and it worked. In order for this to do anybody any good, they have to do what? They have to learn and practice on it and spend time with it. Where's all this going? You know, Christianity can be pretty meaningless unless a person applies themselves to the truth that goes with Christianity. Probably there are some that may have thought once in a while that, you know, Christianity is no big deal. It's not that difficult. I mean, you just accept the Lord as your own personal Savior. That's it. And you're sailing safely home. But isn't there more to Christianity than that? There certainly ought to be. Turn with me, if you would, to James chapter 1. James chapter 1. And beginning at verse 22, James wrote these words. He said, Be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word, and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass or a mirror. For he beholdeth himself, goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. All right, in verses 22 through 25, in the book of James, James is writing about Christianity. He's talking about our life as a believer. How do we discover God's blessing in our lives? As we see from what James writes us here, just knowing about it isn't enough. In verse 22, he says, you need to be doers of the word, not just hearers of it. I'm afraid that many times we kind of pride ourselves with this whole matter of pleasing the Lord, serving the Lord, honoring the Lord. I'm afraid that so many times we are so quick to say, I know what that's all about. I know what I'm supposed to be doing. I know what the Christian life entails. And that's what he's talking about here. Those are your hearers. Yeah. I know this. I know this is what God's will is for me. I know this is what He intends. I know here's how I could please Him with my life. The question is, in actuality, how's your life? I ask myself, how's mine? It's not enough just to know what I am supposed to be doing. It's not enough just to have my head full of, well, this is pleasing and this is pleasing, and boy, this I ought to be engaging in, and I need to be restraining myself and staying away from that. The whole point is just the knowledge that we have is not enough, and it is not going to bring God's blessing on us. Because verse 25 says this, it's the one that is not a forgetful hearer, that's the one that has it all in his head, but instead he is a doer of the work. Here's the one that says, as we think about our opening illustration, exercise machine. I'm not going to just sit here and look at you. I'm going to begin to use you so that I can get some good out of you. Verse 25, he's not just a forgetful hearer. He's not going to just continue on. Yes, I know this and this and this about Christianity, but are we doing it, brother? Are we doing it, sister? It's the one who is a doer of it that it says, this man, and we could say this woman, shall be blessed in his or her deed. Not the knowledge of it, but the implementation of it. Later on in the book of James, we know that James gets pretty pointed in what he has to say about just knowledge. Remember, in 4:17 of James, therefore to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, what is the rest of it? To him it is what? Sin. So, this is kind of like, I know if I stuck to that diet, it would help me lose some weight. I know if I used that exercise machine, I would get stronger and I could get some trim and get more mobility. But just because I've heard the word doesn't mean that my life is where it ought to be. It's not the hearer of the word, but the doer. James 1, 22 to 25. Let's look at another portion. In Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3. Paul wrote to this church. And it says here in the first three verses, if you then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth, for you are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. I'm sure you've heard, it's been explained numerous times, that this, if you then be risen with Christ, we find that Bible scholars quite often tell us the word here literally should be changed to what? Since. Not, well, maybe I am and maybe I'm not. So that's how I'm going to get around this portion. But we're told Bible scholars and reputable ones suggest to us that the grammar of this suggests that it literally is saying, since you are risen with Christ, seek those things which are above. Something has changed. Romans chapter 6, our position in Christ, we died with him, we were buried with him. Romans chapter 6, we were what? Raised with him in newness of life. Thanks to the working of the Holy Spirit, there has been a change in our life. And now Paul says, since that's true, because this is true, your life ought to typify it. There ought to be certain things which are true. Since you are risen with Christ positionally, and we talk about that, how that in Romans 6 and other places, where are we today? Where are we tonight? 7:15. Bodily, we're where? Sitting here in the auditorium. But as God sees us, positionally, through the eyes of God, where are we? Pardon? We are seated. We are already in the heavenlies in Christ Jesus. And this is what Paul is talking about. He's talking now about doctrinal truth. Since you are positionally already there in glory, it ought to make a big difference in your life. You ought to be seeking those things which are heavenly, because that's where Christ your Savior is, and positionally, that's where you already are as far as God is concerned. I realize that this is some of that stuff that we scratch our heads and we say, Pastor, I can't understand that. I can't figure that out. Excuse me. Oh, don't you love it? Don't you love it when you think you're going to get a biggie and it goes away? Oh, bad news. Well, as we think about this, Paul is saying your lives ought to be reflecting the reality. And the reality is, as Christians, you need to realize that there are certain things that have already taken place. You're already there as God sees you. And your energy, your efforts, your activities, they ought to reflect that in the way you're living your life, so that you ought to be setting your affection on things above, not on the earth, because you're already there in God's eyes. Now we ask the question, having said that, where are your affections set? Where are my affections set? Can you say, don't raise your hand, but can you say honestly that you think more about the things above, that are above, than you do about things that are here on earth? I don't know that I can. I keep reminding myself of what is lasting and what is real and what is temporary, and we get so caught up in life, don't we? There's so many things that come before us. And Paul says, you need to put forth the effort, realizing your position in Christ. Work at this, Paul said. Work on what it is that takes your affection and your attention. Set your attention on things above. And he says, why? Because you're dead to the things here on this earth through Christ. And your life is hidden with Christ in God. Well, there's a lot of food to chew on in those three verses, but we want to move on. Galatians 5. Let's look at another instance of just knowing it isn't going to do me any good. I have to put forth the effort. Galatians 5, what verse, Pastor? How about verse 16? So many times people say, oh, I am just so bothered. I struggle so with this old flesh and the old desires and the old things that pull me down. And in verse 16 of Galatians chapter 5, Paul said, this I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Paul says, you want victory? You want victory over the old sinful lusts And who doesn't want that? Paul said, here's the way to victory. Here's the way to victory. And he says, he's not saying, now, I give this to you as a possibility. Paul writes this as a certainty. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and does your Bible say, if you're lucky, you won't fulfill the lust of the flesh? If it's a good day, you won't fulfill the lust of the flesh? Walk in the Spirit, and sometimes you won't, but sometimes you do. I don't think anybody's Bible reads that way. Our Bible says, walk in the Spirit, and then what are the next words? You shall not fulfill. Wouldn't that be great? Wouldn't that be something to be able to experience that victory? We can, is what Paul is saying. The Christian life, it doesn't have to be one defeat after another. We have the Holy Spirit of God residing within us. Romans chapter 8, isn't it about verse 11? That if the same Spirit that is in us is the Spirit that raised Christ from the dead, there's mighty power there, isn't there? Well, how do we walk in the Spirit? What does that mean? It means that I need to start the day out. It means I need to start the time out by coming to the Lord in prayer, acknowledging who He is. And I think even about that, the Lord's Prayer in Matthew, I still am working my way through that one. Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. I am still trying to learn how to praise God more than petition Him. I must confess, petitioning still comes much easier than praising Him. And so I'm still working on that. I hope you are too. But I start out praising God for who He is, thanking Him for the salvation that He has given, thanking Him for the Holy Spirit that lives within, confessing any sin that we might know of, and then conveying to my Heavenly Father, Father, it is my will, my desire today to honor You with my life. I do not want to depend upon myself. I do not want to trust my flesh. I want to walk in and by Your Spirit. I'm trusting that Your Spirit will lead me and guide me in the choices I make, in the things that I do, in the words that I say. I yield myself to You for this day, for this coming day. Oh Lord, help me to be faithful. Help me realize when I've tried to take the reins myself, and when I try to start doing today on my own, so that I can yield it back to You. Walk in the Spirit, and you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. You commit to the Lord, Lord, I want to honor You in what I see and think and do today. The Lord's going to speak to your heart. The Lord is going to show you. You really sure you want to say that to that person? You really sure you want to do that action? You really sure you want to look at that? You gave yourself to me today. This isn't what I'm leading you to do. And The scripture says we walk in the Spirit and we shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Beloved, that's a great verse. But it's not going to happen automatically any more than following a diet or getting on an exercise machine doing us any good until we apply and put forth the effort. I have more references, but I think you get the point. I trust that God has been able to speak to your heart. The Christian life isn't something that we just get up in the morning and thank you, Lord, for life, and I'm just going to kind of see what happens here today. No. There are certain things we ought to be doing. We're to be doers of His Word, not just hearers only. And as I come to various intersections, as I come to decisions that I'm going to make, He's not going to bat me over the back of the head and say, "Do it." We have to do it. But we can do it through His Spirit, by His power. Where is our affection, our attention going to be? Things on the earth? Well, yeah, I mean, we need food on the table. We need, our car needs repair, this, that, and the other thing. But where is your affection? What takes most of your time and energy? When it's a downtime and you don't have anything else to think about, what do you think about? Do you find your affections are set on things above? That's where we're at positionally. And one day the Lord is coming again and faith will become sight and we'll see it all in person. And then victory over the flesh. We don't have to be innocent victims carried along by the old desires and the old sinful ways, because Paul has said, you walk in the Spirit and you will not fulfill those lusts. Let's close with prayer, shall we? Let's stand. Sorry about that. I just assume. Dear Lord, thank you for your truth. We've looked at just a few things this evening. Help us to realize that though you have done all for our salvation, living the Christian life involves our effort, taking advantage of the power within that you have provided for us. Lord, give us a will. Give us a desire to be doers of your word and not hearers only, this week to your glory. In your name I pray. Amen. And you are.